Hello, this is David Mack, and I am always plagued with a lot of questions and needing answers. And even when I am able to answer my own questions, I'm not satisfied simply because of my imperfections. I question even what I answer myself. However, we do have access as an audience to a very, very, very deep thinker, a philosopher, a person that's pondered a lot of things, and they qualified to in the category of some of our good thinkers, including Socrates and Plato. Peter is an individual that we are blessed to have with us today. He's practiced self-realization meditation since his early years. He lives a fast-paced Western-style life with interests ranging from quantum physics to business, strategy, jazz, and modern art. Peter has a book, too, that's a very, very hot seller that I think that should be in the household of everyone's household. And we're very, very, very much blessed to have Peter with us today. Peter, would you say hello to the audience, please?
Hello. How are you doing, David?
Very well, thank you. And Peter, I was just telling the audience that some of the things that problems that I have been trying to think my way through things and give myself right answers, if you will, and I would rather lean on your expertise and your thoughts. You know, lots of times we have difficulty forgiving people. I remember talking to an acquaintance that hadn't spoken to her sister for 20 years. They lived 5 miles apart for 20 years. They did not speak to each other because one said to the other one didn't say Merry Christmas. And finally, after 20 years, they met, and one of the sisters apologized for not having said Merry Christmas and forgotten all about it and didn't even know why or whatever, what the point was. What do you think of situations like that? Have you ever heard bizarre things? People have an extreme inability to forgive.
Yeah, it sounds quite extreme, but, you know, yeah, I know the cases as well. Well, forgiveness, it's a very sort of difficult topic, and it's not just when you're talking with and in relation to other persons and other people, but also forgiving yourself as well. And forgiveness, for example, in the case you just described, I think it has to do also with other issues as well. And one of them might be pride, or there might be something else underneath as well. But typically, for example, in that case that you don't want to say hello or Merry Christmas, then obviously there are two persons who are involved, and either of them could actually just say that, okay, this is silly, and, you know, I apologize, even though I don't think I did anything, or even if I did something, and I'm sorry, and let's move on. But since neither of them did anything, I think they are sort of, both of them could just a bit look themselves and consider what to do. But forgiveness is a hard topic, and many times we tend to be very harsh and hard on ourselves. We don't want to forgive ourselves for the things we did in the past, and it's very difficult to actually just give away and let go of those things we cannot change anymore. We sort of stuck and stick those to those things, those memories and things we did and cannot undo. The history is there, and we just cannot change. The only thing we can change is the current moment and our future actions. Those are for us to still to change and still to make something different and try to be a better one and learn from our mistakes. So forgiveness is very important. If you do not forgive and you just keep those things inside and do not let them to go out and move on your life, you basically, you are stuck on that situation and that emotional feeling, and it affects you, and it affects the people around you as well. And that way, forgiveness is very important. And it doesn't really matter how do you think now and how you should do, how you should have supposed to do things differently in the past, because each and every time you're in a situation and you have to then act and respond according to your knowledge and your perception in that point in time. So being a sort of a wise person afterwards is very easy, but it doesn't help at all. So many times if you just do sort of a mental practice and would just face yourself once again in the situation and consider, would I have done something differently if I would have exactly the same information as I had at that time when I needed to do the decision in the past? And,
So
yeah, go on.
are you saying then that a person that it's hard for a person to forgive another is because maybe it's difficult for them to forgive themselves for something that they've done?
Yep, that's typically the case. I think it might be even so that it's easier to forgive other people than to yourself.
Hmm.
And that's sort of the dilemma that, you know, obviously if, well, not obviously, but, you know, I think if you can forgive yourself for the things you have done and just move on and try to make a difference now and learn the lessons from the past, then it might be even easier to just forgive for other people as well. Because you understand that you are not perfect and neither are them. So, you know, everybody just, you know, make mistakes and you just have to live and make the best out of it.
Well, let me ask you, what makes a good leader then? A statement here is we expect more from ourselves than we do from others. Now, would that be, would a good leader with that type of a mind or attitude, would that be a good leader or a poor leader if they expect more from themselves and others?
Well, if you are a practical example and you try to do your best, and you can only do your best, because there's nothing else you can do, only at your best. If you're performing at your best, you really put everything there, and the only one who can measure that you're doing your best is yourself. So I think the good leader is one who is a practical example. So you try to do your best, but you're obviously also forgiving for yourself. You not pretend to be a perfect person and, you know, do things, you know, perfectly, but, you know, also admit that, you know, hey, you know, things happen, but you honestly try to do yourself best. And being a good practical example, I think that's the most inspiring way of leading other people.
That's really amazing. So again, it is important to let go and forgive oneself, and then that's easier for a person that does that to forgive others, or even makes it more easy for a person to forgive others, and they can go on with their lives. I read somewhere that holding things inside, the inability to forgive, can make one sick. I mean, it can affect your physical being, and I thought that was quite interesting too. And as a matter of fact, it goes so deeply as to say that cancer and heart problems can be labeled as emotional diseases. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it bears truth, and typically a lot of the diseases can be sort of traced, not maybe altogether, but there are at least some tendencies that, you know, if you're having emotional issues and you're forcing them to sort of be inside and you do not let them to come out, and you do that over a long period of time, it have the effect that, you know, somehow that energy is coming out and then you just becoming sick, or you there's some other issues. But altogether, no matter whether it's any physical or other symptoms, the thing is that if you do not process those emotions you're having, it takes a lot of your effort as well to just suppress them and keep them down and not coming up. So if all that time you're not saying Merry Christmas, each and every Christmas time you just, you know, have to focus on and you know, put some of your energy just not to talk and just not to face, and you're still pondering and wondering and you know, thinking about the issue, that's away from something else in that moment. So I think it's good to just let go and just focus on the current moment and try to change and do things better now when you have the experience and knowledge from your past mistakes and the things you could now do differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's a positive attitude, and that will even help some couples and people that are in the workplace and having to work as a group and to learn to forgive. What about patience? Sometimes I was in an area yesterday that there was a line. As a matter of fact, I had to go by the bank, and among other things I had to do, and standing in line, there was a long, long, long line. And I was thinking, having read an article, that people were very polite and they were patient. They waited until their turn. Now, someone says the same group, if you would, could be put in an automobile and waiting in traffic, and they're rude, and they can be very, very show their impatience, if you will. And they likened it to a person not having the steel of at least the security of a car around them, And so that being the case, they act a lot differently standing in line at a bank than they would sitting in line in traffic. What do you think of patience in that sense?
Well, patience is something that comes from within. And typically the expressions you see outside, people yelling or doing something which is not considered as a sort of nice or good behavior, are just expressions from those things happening inside. And I think patience has a lot to do of our perception of the situations and understanding. If you, for example, the bank example, you see a long queue. You're in a hurry. Either you can just, if you do not want to wait, you can just, you know, leave. If you just decide to wait, then you have to take the responsibility that you know that there's a long queue. Nothing you can do about it. You are not in control. So why stress? You made the decision to be on the queue. So that's up to you to do and stand on the line. So instead of being in the stress and being angry or whatever, you could just, you know, take a deep breath and enjoy the moment. Maybe think about, you know, what are you going to do next, or just enjoy the scenery and look people, or just relax and just appreciate the moment that you do not have to do anything. You have a quiet moment, you know, during your busy day or whatever. So I think patience has also a lot to do with realization that there are things you are in control and there are things you are not in control, and you can obviously manipulate and do things which are in your control, and the rest you just have to let go and accept that, you know, you cannot change them. And if you're stressing about those things which are not in your control, you're wasting your time and energy, and that's away from something else. So patience, I think it makes your life more easier, it makes your life more relaxed, and you can focus on those true issues and things, and you may even start to enjoy more of your life. And patience has also a lot to do to understand that when you just acting out of frustration or because you're waiting something and you just really want to be somewhere else than where you are at this point in time.
Well, that's interesting that you're saying that, because so it boils down to, for instance, I can allow myself standing in line at the bank to feel comfortable with it.
Yep.
And it's my comfort zone, if you will. But if I'm in my automobile, according to studies that brought out how people behave in situations, then I will not allow myself to be comfortable sitting in line in my car. So I kind of express that through being arrogant and mean toward others, or maybe making gestures that are not friendly, that kind of thing. What do you think as far as comfort zone? We can determine whether we want to be comfortable in this situation or that situation, which again will bring about how patient we are, how impatient we are.
Well, I think it may not be exactly so much as to do with the patience. If you're patient, you are patient no matter whether you're in a queue or then you're surrounded by some 1 or 2 tons of metal, and you sort of having protection around you. So you feel like that in a car, for example, you're having your own private space and there's, you're surrounded by something which sort of protects you from other people. So you can express yourself in a ways you could never do in a bank queue. Because, you know, if you do like that, you know, you will be seriously hurt. And you know that. So I think what people do in the cars is typically something that they would not do in an open space with other people. So you tend to see more aggressive behavior in the car, but nevertheless, the thing is that if you're doing those things only because you are sort of more protected or you feel more stronger or empowered in the car, then you haven't really sort of understood the lesson of patience.
Okay, now what about, if a person finds themselves becoming uncomfortable or impatient, what about the stuff that mothers do? I don't know if they do it in Spain, but I know, or in Europe, but in the United States, they count to 10. Is that a global thing, or is that a colloquial? I mean, what do you think of that, counting to 10? Does that help, or when a person finds their patience is really reaching its end, or the end of their wick, as the saying goes?
Yeah, it helps. I think it might be even global. Typically, if you count to 10, what you do is you just, you know, deeply breathe in and then let it out. And exhale. So what that does is that you get more oxygen in, and you also sort of relax a bit, and that enables you to step back from the situation and reconsider it and sort of come more to your senses and out of your emotional overflow or feeling of being emotional in the situation. So I think, you know, it's a very good advice just be a bit more patient and consider before your actions, before you're talking, before you're doing things, because we don't people do not tend to realize when they are angry. Only afterwards. It's only afterwards. Well, try it yourself. Can you observe all the way? Now I'm getting angry. There's an angriness in me. I'm not angry, but there's a feeling of angriness in me. And now it's in really, really top, and I'm really angry and yelling someone. And then now it's starting to go away. No, it doesn't typically happen like that. So you are overtaken by your emotions and feelings, and you only realize those after the fact. And that's the hard lesson, that how can you actually start to realize and see when you're starting to turn angry or getting strong emotions, and then release the time to just, you know, cool down a bit and consider the situations.
So a person that is slow to anger versus a person that's quick to anger, I think Solomon, which was noted in his time as being one of the wisest men, he says a person that is quick to get angry is actually stupid. What do you think of a statement like that? Which would that has to do with patience too? You can really tie that in. A person that's slow to anger is a person that's kind of a wise, but a person that's quick to get angry, there's a level of stupidity there. Why do you think he would think that way?
Well, the thing is that, you know, why should you be angry? I'm not saying that you should suppress your emotions, but why are you becoming angry? You are getting angry. It's you who is getting angry. So there's something which in you gets angry, and you have some reason or something which makes you to react that way. So the very first reason is coming from you, why you're getting angry. Obviously, you're facing something. There's something many times external which triggers you to do that, but you always have a choice to not becoming angry, or you and that's I think more important question than how quickly or how slowly you're getting angry. That's another thing then. But obviously, why angriness and these strong, typically negative emotions are sort of very dangerous, so people tend to like to get rid of them, is that because you're doing something while you're in that emotional feeling that you would not do otherwise, and you start to regret your actions, what you'd be doing. So I think that's really sort of the essence of the issue, that if you, while you're having that strong emotion, you're doing something that you would not do otherwise, and you start to regret your actions later on. So you were out of your mind. You were out of control. You did something you would not do otherwise. So I think that's the reason to if you're getting slower angry, you realize it, maybe you can just cool it down a bit and be more in your senses and just consider your actions and not just cause harm and bad feelings for other people, which you obviously did not meant to happen.
I thought something was interesting too. I was listening to you very, very intently, and some of the things that you were saying, and I have a tendency to equate things to the physical body because that's my nature. Calcium, the body, the calcium should be about 6% of the body's minerals should be calcium, and the other 40% are the other types of minerals or electrolytes the body should have if it's balanced. And it was brought out that a person that has or ingests significant amount of sucrose, which is common table sugar, that leaches calcium out of the body, and they've known that they've had a short wick, or they have a less t the tolerance level goes down as far as dealing with things. In other words, they become very impatient if the calcium level is down, and if the calcium level is at its proper ebb, and given the same situation, they tend to react in a more civilized way, if whatever civilized mean. I just thought that was quite interesting too. So it seems like everything can be tied in. The mind and body tend to be in cahoots with each other. It tends to be a kinship or relationship there. What do you think?
Yeah, that's correct. We need to function in this body, and it absolutely is necessary that you feed it also proper food and give proper nutritions. And if you do not, you know, the body also reacts to those things. And if you're feeling physically not comfortable or weak or sometimes strange, you emotions and feelings can also react, and you start to reflect those to the outer world in your actions. So if you having a lot of sugar in your blood, or you just a lot of caffeine, drink a lot of coffee and get a lot of caffeine, or you eating a lot of fats, and you know it's very strong your diet, it tends to also make your physical condition similar. So in that way, personally I'm a vegan, and I know from my own experience that eating properly really makes the difference, and it really sort of makes the difference in everyday life. And I think there also been studies made in the even in the 30s or 40s or 50s, I don't exactly remember, but feeding rats with different food really made a difference in their behavior. When they were fed meat and the food we eating, processed food, they turned very aggressive. And when they were having more lighter food, and they were having vegetables and this type of diet, their behavior was just completely the opposite. So food is very important, and nowadays, unfortunately, most of our foods are processed foods, and it tends to also not give us all the vitamins and minerals we need.
Well, it's unbelievable how at least there's concrete evidence that diet the body as whole as far as the body as far as the physicalness and the spiritual of the body they go hand in hand. I would like to suggest to the audience, however, that Fragments of Reality is an excellent book. It's a very, very necessary book to have, and I would use it, read it, and also use it as a reference because there's a lot of good information in here that will give you some guidance and as to how to deal with a pressure, and including patience in this case, and including forgiveness. And it is again with a tremendous amount of pleasure, and it's a blessing to have Peter with us today. Peter has been helpful in helping you and I understand some of the things that we need to know. And Pete, until we meet again, I'd like to thank you again for being with us. And I'm sure the audience is benefiting from this tremendously. But my suggestion again to the audience is get the book, Fragments of Reality. Peter, do you have anything to say about the book before we close?
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Yeah, well, the book is available online if you want to read it free of charge. You can get it from fragmentsofreality.com, or you can go to your local bookstore and online Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or whatever you prefer to do your shopping. You can find it from all those places around the world.
Yes, and also we're setting up a shopping mall on We Care Baltimore, which is a nonprofit radio station that reaches out to the community, and it's going to be syndicated as of the first of the year, and the book will be available through those channels also. But again, thanks a lot, Peter, for your coming on today to discuss some of the important issues that we have to be confronted with on a daily basis. And looking forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Thank you, David. Till next time, take care.